Welcome to a new episode of Kaga Space, a podcast where I pretty much talk about nerd culture, gaming, anime, and a little bit of tech. So, originally, this episode is a simple discussion between me and my guest, Popa the Monkey, about what is a good entry point into the Persona series. But my audio got scuffed because my post-edited file got corrupted due to software issues, and the RAWs have been lost to the ether. So, before you listen, please feel free to check out his YouTube channel. I put the link on the description box below. I would highly recommend checking out this Cyberpunk Edgerunners discussion. And with that out of the way, let's get this shit started. So yeah, if you've seen the title card, chances are you're interested in the Persona series. I mean, who wouldn't at this point, right? Persona 5 is one of the most successful games of the recent era, and people have been praising it everywhere. So, as someone who gets intrigued by it, you might have gone to the internet and checked out how many games there are in the series. Excuse me, only to be surprised that there are a lot of games in there. It's kinda like the Final Fantasy situation where there's a lot of things out there and that oftentimes scare people. But no worries guys, I have you covered. So if you're the type of person who wants to get into the series but don't know where to begin, or maybe you're someone who played their recent titles and wanted to check out their previous games, or maybe you're just a random parent and you're wondering why is your kid like heavily invested or interested in this franchise, then this podcast episode is for you. So let's kick things off with Shin Megami Tensei F. So Kage, why are you starting things off with an SMT game? I thought this was a Persona discussion. No worries, this is like a really quick take, and this is like part of the reason why the franchise came to be. Shin Megami Tensei If is what created the Persona franchise. So back then in Japan, people figured out that games that have a high school setting sell well. So what they basically did is the events of the first Shin Megami Tensei game, where America nuked Japan for the third time, didn't happen, and now you take on a role of a high schooler trying to get out of this school surrounded by demons. Now, Shin Megami Tensei If is a role-playing game in which players take the role of the protagonist, an unnamed boy or girl who appears in later Megami Tensei titles as a girl named Tamaki Uchida. As the protagonist, the player explores that both the demon-infested Talukozaka High School and Five Towers based on the Seven Deadly Sins. Now, in this game, demons can be talked with in a battle and recruited if the right conversation is initiated. It's a staple in the SMT games, and of course, since you're using the same engine and whatnot, it's gonna be a thing here. Now, once a part of the player's party, they will fight alongside them. In addition to standard demons, the player can ally with one human companion, with three being available on your first playthrough and the fourth one that's unlocked during the second. When the player or their human partner dies in battle, they are granted a guardian spirit which revives them at the last save point and teaches them new skills and alter the player's stats. And this is where the idea of a persona gets created. So yeah, sorry for the short cutoff there, but that's basically how the Persona franchise got created. And with that out of the way, we can finally be talking about the Persona games. So Persona or Megami Ibunloku Persona builds up on the foundations of SMTF. But there's a huge emphasis on Jungian psychology and the embodiment of arcanas for the cast or your party members. Speaking of characters, there are a total of 9 playable characters in the game, but you can only field a total of 5 for each playthrough. One thing that's unique about this entry is that there are 2 routes you can go towards depending on who your party members are and the decisions you make. You can place, gameplay-wise rather, it's a first-person dungeon crawler and battles are done on a grid. You can place your party members anywhere on the board, but placement affects what types of weapons you can use and whatnot. As for personas, you can make new ones via fusion, but it's a bit of a pain in the ass to do it. For starters, you need to farm tarot cards via demon negotiation. And this eats your time because you need a certain amount of cards from different arcanas, like a combination of sorts, so that you can fuse them. And aside from that, all of them start at level 1, so you have to grind basically for them to level up. Other than that, the customization is pretty damn good because there's a lot of options to do so. And gameplay is pretty unique, but the thing is that it's pretty dated and the random encounters here are pretty damn high. I wouldn't really recommend playing this entry unless you wanted to see the roots of the series. But if you want a really strong narrative, really amazing characters, this one is okay. Now, the best version to play is definitely the PSP remake. It fixes the localization issue from the PS1 as well as the ability to play either routes, because on the PS1 you're only tied to the first one, or the Sebek route. And due to the power of fan hacks and, you know, emulation, you can apply 4K textures to character portraits that text as well, and, you know, change the audio to Japanese because the English voice acting during the 2000s are pretty disappointing. With that out of the way, let's talk about the Persona 2 duology. Much to anyone's surprise, there are three mainline Persona games before the modern ones came into existence. Obligatory fan joke aside, let's talk about Persona 2 Innocent Sin or Persona 2 Sumi. Innocent Sin focuses on the protagonist Tatsuya Suwo dealing with rumors in his city coming true. And it's all because due to the Joker. Innocent Sin focuses on a lot of things, right, primarily. Along the way, Tatsuya and his friends must fight the Joker and figure out the Joker's true identity as well as protect the world because it's a JRPG and I don't want to spoil you guys with what's gonna happen. Gameplay-wise, it retains the dungeon-crawling aspect from the first game but isn't in the first-person point of view, which makes it 100 times better in my opinion. Also, a new mechanic called Spell Fusion is added here in which if you place a certain correct skill sequence, like if you organize your skill in a certain way, you'll get a new skill basically. It's like a combination, hence the fusion. Also, if you also do multiple fusions with the same persona or monster, there is a chance that your persona will mutate and get benefits such as extra stats or getting a new skill. Or maybe evolving your skill rather. Now, I wasn't able to mention this earlier, but in the first game, aside from the protagonist you use, your other party members can also equip multiple personas, but there's like a compatibility thing with select arcanas for each character, so if they're like compatible, they get better EXP gains. Sorry, English isn't my primary language. Or if they're not, basically it's like a lower EXP gains or a lower damage, kind of those things. There are also routes in this game, but there doesn't really change the ending, unlike the first game. Also, if you happen to have a save file from the first persona, you get more dialogues here on the route splits. I'll just leave it at that because I'm really trying my hard to keep this spoiler free. Believe me, it's hard if it's like the first three games are like heavily interconnected. Now, with that out of the way, let's talk about the latter half of the duology, which is Persona 2 Eternal Punishment or Persona 2 Batsu. Eternal Punishment focuses on the protagonist Maya Amano, who is one of your party members from Innocent Sin. Now, it takes place on the other side of Innocent Sin, and the same as the first game, rumors are spread about if you use your cell phone. Now, Joker plays a different role here, and basically, when you call him, he pretty much killed who you asked you to kill. And now Maya is tasked to write a story about the Joker when she meets him in person. Gameplay-wise, it's pretty much the same game as the first one, but this time you have adult party members. I don't know if it's just me who grew up with the series, but replaying it gave me a better appreciation for the cast. Because shit is rough when you become an adult and the cast here embodies that, and the writing is pretty solid. Now, old man jokes aside, that's pretty much it for Eternal Punishment. As for where to play the duology, just play the PSP remakes. Thankfully, we can now play the Eternal Punishment PSP version. It was localized back then, so if you happen to have a save file from Innocent Sin, the PSP version, you can use it for your Eternal Punishment game. and you get to unlock the Tatsuya scenario. Now, if you have, you can just play it on modded PS Vita because PSP emulation is good there, or you can just play it on your phone. It's pretty easy to emulate, and that's pretty much it, really. So, I guess that's pretty much it for now for the first three Persona games. But before we proceed, this discussion to begin with is pretty damn long. So just feel free to have a drink of water or whatnot. And I would like to say thank you if you stayed this long during this episode. Now, let's talk about the modern Persona games or the Katsura Hashino ones. Most of the things I'll mention here are basically in unison with the three mainline games, so don't be surprised if I didn't mention anything for the others. But yeah, the things that were introduced in the modern games are like the calendar system, the social sim aspect via the social links or confidants for Persona 5, demon negotiation got removed temporarily, the press turn system from SMT Nocturne was added to make the battles quicker, as well as more strategic since the enemy can use it on you as well. There's also a 3D overworld you can explore. You can now fuse personas by using the personas you have instead of getting those tarot cards. So, less time grinding. Aside from that, you can also get social skills, which in turn will help you progress with your social links. And lastly, the main protagonist has the wild card, meaning they have the ability to form a contract, allowing to access and summon multiple personas, as well as switching between them in battle and the ability to change them into change your pawns into strength. Now, with the general stuff out of the way, let's talk about Persona 3. Persona 3 follows a group of high school students trying to find their own reasons for living in a world surrounded by death that they're forced to cope with, understand, and accept. They form a group called Seas in order to investigate the Dark Hour, a mysterious time period between one day and the next that very few people are aware of. The plot puts a heavy emphasis on the concept of death because on the opening, you're literally plastered by the Latin phrase memento mori, meaning remember you must die. Now, dungeon crawling wise, you pretty much climb up this tower called Tartarus. Each floor is randomly generated and there are mini bosses that you have to proceed to each floor. Once you can proceed, you need to go through a story event or a boss battle on every full moon. You also can control your party members on the PS2 versions of the game because the intention was that your party members have their own personalities so that they can get to act by themselves. You can kinda order them around by stating which actions should be prioritized, but you can't order them directly for now. I'll get to that part later, okay? Aside from that, the game is fun overall. The characters are pretty solid, narrative is pretty strong, and this is where the franchise started to get noticed in the West. Now, as for which version to play, this is where we're gonna be spending a bit more time because there are multiple versions of this entry. First is Persona 3 FES or Persona 3 Festival. This is what I would say a modern-day DLC expansion equivalent, and this is gonna be a practice by Atlus moving forward. Now, back in the PS2 era, we didn't have internet base. I mean, the internet is there, but people don't have access to it for consoles. And so what Atlus basically did is that they re-released the base game and added this scenario and repackaged it, basically. Now, quite some time has passed after the ending of the main game, and you get to control Aegis as she gets the power of the wild card, and that's the only info I'll say because it's heavy spoiler territory at that point. Now, this game, well, the expansion rather, the epilogue is a grind fest, so I wouldn't really recommend going through it. I would just watch the cutscenes on YouTube, to be honest, but that's if you're planning to emulate FES as is. But if you happen to have a PC, I would highly recommend using the new Moon patch. This basically fixes the AI party members issue. The enemy team antagonists aren't pushovers because they were pretty shit in the original release, and balances that Atlus could have done, but you know, they don't have the time or resources to do so. Now, you can play this on a modded PS2 or emulate it on a PC if you have a decent PC. Now, if you're doing this on the PC route, I would suggest, aside from getting the new Moon patch, you can also apply the undubbed patch, which basically changes the voice acting in the Japanese, make the textures a bit better because the text is gonna be bad. And those are the things that you can put. You can also put additional soundtracks and whatnot, but if you want to go that rabbit hole, do so on your expense, but that is not the point of this particular discussion. Now, if you don't have a PS2 or a decent PC, the only accessible way you can play Persona 3, there's another one, but there's gonna be some issues that goes along with it. The other version I'm talking about is Persona 3 Portable, or commonly known as P3P. Originally, it's the PSP version of the game, so considering that the hardware is weaker, Atlus had to do major changes to make it work on the PlayStation Portable. For starters, the 3D overworld is gone. Aside from that, you get compressed audio, the cutscenes are basically presented via visual novel style, with 2D backdrops in 288 pixels to be exact. And the major thing that's cut off is the festival expansion, or the epilogue rather. So why bother playing this version? Basically, there's another scenario that's being added. Not be a scenario, but there's a different way to play the game. And that is you get to play as a female protagonist. And this is the only time in the franchise to do so. Now, we get different scenarios and romance options for the FemC route. So if you want to date or your quote-unquote husbando, you can do so. As for platforms, you can play this entry. You can emulate this on your phone because it's a PSP game. But if you want to support Atlus, you can play them digitally on the Switch, PS4, PS5, and the Xbox line of consoles, as well as on Steam. Now, the thing that I hate about the recent port of Persona 3 Portable on modern platforms is that it's a lazy port. Now, Atlus outsourced this to a different company, and the result isn't really good, in my opinion. Remember the things I mentioned earlier about the things they did to make it playable on the PSP? Those issues are still there, man. So, you have compressed audio, even though the platforms you can play it on can handle the uncompressed versions. The 288 pixels 2D backgrounds are now upscaled to 4K. So, basically, if you have a really bad source image originally, and if you decide to blow it up into a really high resolution, it's gonna look bad and watered down, or a bit dried, is the best way I can put it. So if you play this on a 4K TV or a monitor, you can definitely see that this didn't age well. Aside from that, you can pick the skills that you want to carry over from the Persona materials you use for Fusion, which is like a staple nowadays. And lastly, they could have used the PS2 cutscenes for the FES ones and make it just like a cutscene wise. They have like the resources and the models to do so. I don't know why they didn't do it, but probably a budget thing because Sega. Also, as a longtime fan, this literally rubbed me the wrong way. I'm pretty sure Atlus wanted to do this right, but they're owned by Sega, like I mentioned, and I'm just hoping that this decision was made by them instead of Atlus. But if you have no options to do so, it's an okay port if you're like really not really forced to do so. This is just coming from a longtime fan of the franchise and wishing that it was handled better because Persona 3 has a special place in my heart. So if you're gonna be playing P3P, I'd say probably play it on the Switch on handheld mode or probably play it on the Steam Deck so you don't have to see that godforsaken shitty AI upscale. So yeah, that's pretty much it really. Otherwise, just play emulate P3P. It's way better than what I think about it. Long rant aside from Persona 3, let's move on to Persona 4. Persona 4 follows a group of high school students dealing with a mysterious TV channel dedicated to distorting and exaggerating the truth of who they are and their identities. A string of bizarre murders related to the TV channel begins, shaking their once peaceful town. From there, they explore the mysterious world inside the TV and perform rescue missions in order to save its victims from death. Only by looking past what is on the screen, finding and evaluating the truth among a myriad of lies, can they hope to find the serial killer and save their town. So if you know JoJo Part 4, that's basically it. You get the same vibes, but
That's pretty much it. Now, theme-wise, it's basically acceptance of what goes on both around you and in yourself. I won't delve into it because it's spoiler territory, but you can see it as you progress your relationship with your social links. Improvements aside, you don't get forced into dating someone if you reach a high enough social link rank with the opposite sex, because that is penalizing as fuck in Persona 3. So it's up to you if you want to date like multiple people or, you know, be monogamous. Now, the only version that I would recommend playing is Persona 4 Golden. You can pretty much play it on any platform you want aside from emulation, unless you want to emulate the base game, which is okay in itself, but you'll be missing the extra mod and the other goodies. And you know, there's no issues with other platforms. P3P is the bad cheap one, but let's not talk about that anymore. After that, let's move on to the recent entry into the franchise. Persona 5 follows a group of troubled high school students, the protagonist, and a collection of compatriots he meets along the way. These disturbed and troubled teenagers gradually realize that they are living in a toxic and dangerous world resembling a prison full of slavery, oppression, and injustice ruled by corrupted and twisted adults. In order to seek freedom, liberation, and justice, they live dual lives as rebellious phantom thieves of hearts. Using a mysterious smartphone app, God, I'm getting tired here, sorry about that, they undertake fantastical adventures by using otherworldly powers to enter the hearts of these corrupted adults in order to reshape and transform them, thus making the world a bit better. Gameplay-wise, it's pretty much the culmination of the franchise because everything has been streamlined to make the experience great. Dungeon crawling doesn't feel as tedious as the previous entries and as punishing as before. Demon negotiation is back and it's not RPG simulator compared to the first three games. Social links have a good use now instead of just EXP boost when using select arcanas, and you know, you get to unlock the ultimate personas. And of course, the soundtrack is fucking good. Definitely play Persona 5 Royal and there's no more questions asked. You can play this on pretty much any modern platform out there, so you're not limited to which area to play. I say avoid the Switch version because it's low as fuck. And that's pretty much it, really. You can go into the spin-off games, but that's going to be for another episode because this episode is long enough as is. I just wanted to say thank you once again to you listeners who made it this far. It really means a lot to me, and to those of you who consume it bit by bit, thank you as well, because this is a huge undertaking for me. So if you happen to enjoy this episode, please let me know by following my socials at Instagram at Kagaspace or Facebook.com/Kagaspace, and you know, drop me a comment and whatnot. That would really help me a lot. Aside from using those platforms to make announcements that I have a new podcast episode, I tend to shitpost a lot and upload the new things that are added to my collection there as well. Feel free to rate this episode on Spotify as well as checking my previous works on Spotify or any podcasting platform you're into. And you know, feel free to share it around as well. If you want to help keep the lights on because living here in the Philippines is shit, you can donate to my PayPal, that's paypal.me/kaga018, or donate to my GCash, which is 0956-339-1008. Now, all of the links and whatnot are in the description below. And lastly, I just wanted to say thanks to Popo once again, and I'm sorry that the audio got scuffed. So yeah, this is Kage once again, and catch you guys in the next one.